Well, good morning. I want to be the first to wish you a happy new year. And this message is going to be kind of all over the map, so try to keep up. I'll try to make it clear. We're going to be camping out nowhere. We're going to be bouncing around. One of the passages of Scripture is going to be found in Ephesians chapter 5, so if you want to jump to Ephesians chapter 5, that's great. I played baseball when I was young, and the older I get, the better I was. But I remember one game, and I went up to the plate, and I had a couple people on base, and I missed three pitches in a row, and I was really upset with myself. And I remember one of my best coach in life was my dad. And when I was younger than this day, my dad would always say, don't maximize your errors. You need to forget about them, learn from them, but then you need to go, in this particular case, back up to the plate and don't keep thinking about what you did wrong. I just want to let you know I hit a grand slam and won the game with that after I struck out. So I remember big, but I want to encourage you as we move through Scripture today that as we think about the last year and we think about what's coming, that you don't get bogged down about what you did wrong last year. I've preached a sermon like this. I tried to do it every year because it's a good time of year. September's a good time of year for students to think about last year and what's coming forward. And for adults, the changing of the calendar. Can you believe 2024? Can't believe it. It just seems like yesterday we were all worried about the computers going down in the year 2000. This sermon is about evaluation. How each of us should take the time today as you're moving toward the new year. I want to encourage you, take an honest look at what last year looked like. And don't give yourself a pass. Don't beat yourself up, but think about what it was. Every single one of us has 525,600 minutes in a year. I would think there'd be more than that, but there's just 525,600 minutes. And each one of us, we have the same amount. It's important for us to take inventory. Are we going to grow in Christ? Are we going to grow in our habits to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ? The last year, were you just holding your own? Were you striving to be more like Jesus? Are you losing ground? In Ephesians chapter 5, it says this, look carefully then how you walk. Some of your Bibles might have walk circumspectly. Let me show you what that looks like. You're looking around. You're not going to be surprised. This is how we should walk in this wicked world. Because how many times have we been tripped up or surprised? Sometimes by the same sin. The verse here states we live in a world of evil and we need to be careful, to walk carefully, live carefully. Don't be tricked. So I want to introduce the topic, the subject this morning. And as I said a little bit before, my desire is not for you to feel guilty. Don't maximize your errors. Don't continue to think about it. My desire for you is to honestly look at the mess-ups that you had last year or the fact that you didn't really work as hard as you ought to. Take an honest appraisal of it and determine what you're going to do about it. So it's not designed to make you feel bad. It's not my desire that you sit there and say, oh, I've arrived. I had a great year. I did wonderful. I don't need to grow. But to mindfully measure where God wants you to move in these next 525,600 minutes. Maybe the course of action that you pray about and ask God to direct you will swerve you into obedient living. Our Father, we pray today that your word would shine through, that your Holy Spirit would encourage and convict, and that our spirit would make changes so that we can be effective and not unfruitful in this world. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to be challenging you, spoiler alert, on Bible reading, prayer, giving, one another living, and other things that are bonuses. As we begin this year, it might sound a little morbid, but you're one day closer to death. Isn't that encouraging? But we're also one year closer to standing before our beloved Savior and hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And Solomon, the wisest man that's ever lived, he had regrets. You know that? You read about his regrets in Ecclesiastes, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, what does it say? He says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Before the wider I get around the muzzle, the more I'm saying amen, amen, amen to Solomon, because there are so many things I could have done when my legs were stronger and my eyes were clearer and my hands were stronger. And Solomon reminds us, young people, you've got great bodies that are strong and a mind that's strong and legs and arms, and your teeth aren't falling out. I had one pulled last year. Come on. And Solomon says, serve God when you got some spizzerinkdom. Look it up. Solomon wants us to consider that as you're young, serve the Lord, because when you get older, you're, as a believer, you're going to want to serve the Lord, and sometimes you just can't. We moved these risers last week, and my back still hurts. Never used to be a problem. But we're one year closer to standing before Jesus. And the question is, are you dreading that? He's going to weigh your works and your attitudes and your thoughts. You looking forward to that? I'm looking forward to it-ish. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so each one may receive what is due. So we're going to stand before him, and that's why 2024 is so important. As you hit the ground running, all of your advantages, all of your abilities, all of your gifts that God has given you, they're going to come into account. I want you to think about this for a second. This is no extra charge. How many Bibles do you have? Do you realize that one copy of the Bible would be precious overseas in certain countries? They hide them because they can lose their life for having it. We're going to stand before God. You got, how many Bibles do you have available to you to read? What about your abilities and talents? Do you make them available for more than just a couple people? What a sobering thought this next year to make sure that as you stand before the Lord, it's going to be a happy day and not a sad one for you for a second. And to the unbeliever, I'm pretty sure that in a group this size, there are some people who have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection in your place. There's going to come a day when you're either in or out. Either Christ is going to say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world." Or, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Today would be a good day for you to change your trajectory on your final destination. Today would be a good day. But for you believers in the Lord, today may be a good day for you to take inventory. Not to feel guilty, not to start saying justification things when you're sitting there and you're hearing, "Oh, well, that, and but I can't do that, and Just make an honest evaluation. So evaluate your life with Christ. You're 1 year closer to your final destination. I want to take the opportunity to provoke you to thinking, how'd you use last year? How'd you use your time and your money? Had you used it wisely? Is there anything that you can change? I want to suggest some resolutions for you. I know, New Year's resolutions. The gyms are packed. Tomorrow they're going to, well, day after tomorrow, they're going to be packed. There's going to be no parking. Just wait a couple weeks. That's not my goal. We're talking about life change. So, in the past year, has your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, has it improved? Has it stayed the same? Or has it gotten a little worse? Have you drawn near to God? Pastor Dave did such a great job going through James. And the scripture says, draw near to God. And what does God do? He draws near to you. Keep in mind that the relationship you want to build with the Lord is based upon good communication, just like with your wife or your husband or your children or your friends. Communication is good. So let's talk about God's Word. Have you been listening to God's Word? I just recently talked to someone who had just read through the Bible again this year. Now, I'm not telling you that that is a, you know, if you don't read through your Bible in 1 year, that you're not spiritual. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is they were pretty encouraged this year. They had finished reading through the scriptures. And you know what's interesting is I got to see them, and they were living out what they were reading. What an encouragement. So how do you look at scripture? David looked at scripture as a way to give him direction. A lot of times we think, well, Lord, I just don't know what I ought to do. Well, this is what David said in Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies. David's desire was to look into God's word and have it make a change in him. How can we honestly say we're taking our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ seriously if we don't listen to what he has to say? I love it when I go to my grandchildren at their house and I speak and they turn around and listen. Now, it doesn't always happen, but I love it when it does. And when I speak to others, it is so great to be able to hear and see and communicate with each other. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to read the Word, because the Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I remember, you probably remember this too, Pastor Joe. We would go camping, and whenever we go camping, we go hiking, and we will go hiking. And sometimes we made mistakes about when we went hiking. We would think we'd have more time, but one time we went hiking, and this was, I think it's Salt Fork, and boy, we were having a great hike, and all of a sudden, we started realizing it is getting dark, and we are more than a few minutes away from camp. And so we start walking through the woods, and I don't think we were scared. Were you scared? Yeah, a little bit. Go hold my hand. He was 17. No, So we're walking through this forest, and it was pitch black. And all the roots that we didn't trip on before, we were tripping on every one of them because we couldn't see. And that's what our life is like as we walk circumspectly, as we walk carefully in this world because it's wicked. We trip on roots if we don't have God's Word lighting our path before us. Have you explored the world? Have you explored the Word? Which one? Any effective communication requires a two-way street. And so fervent Bible study is important. Next thought I have is, what about your prayer life? What about your prayer life? You know, God wants you to communicate with him mostly to give him honor and glory and praise for what he's done for you and be a thankful person. Have you afforded yourself the opportunity to not only pray by yourself in your closet, as Jesus said, quietly because God knows everything you need, and have you also prayed corporately? Now, we do this every week on Wednesday nights, and you know that, and I'm not, again, just evaluate. Have you ever been to a prayer meeting and you had a prayer request and you shared it with your brothers and sisters in Christ and they mentioned it 4 days after and say, I'm praying for you? How encouraging is that to your spiritual life? So has your degree of prayerfulness increased this year? This is an important tenet of the faith. If you really believe that God exists and he hears, then you're going to pray either by yourself or with others. Martin Luther, and I'm loosely quoting this, Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today, I've got to take extra time in prayer. Good words. We need to also evaluate, has my relationship with the body of Christ improved? Has my love for you, has it grown? Has your love for me grown? Bible tells us and Scripture tells us that this is an important part of everyday living. It says, concerning brotherly love in 1 Thessalonians 4, I urge you to love the brothers more and more. Now, if you say, well, I love the brothers, great, love them more and more. Continue to grow. This whole life journey is about growth. Do it more and more. Keep growing. And don't let outside influences distract you. How many distractions do we have? The best is to love God and to love people and to do it more and more. And then there's so many other things that just get in the way of that. Good things, they just get in the way. So are we closer to one another? Have you made an effort to strengthen the relationships that you have with this body of Christ? Have you faithfully used old tech, pens and paper, stamps, texts, emails, FaceTime? Have you used those? And here's a tough question. I want you to look around for a second. Look around. Look at people all the way across. Do you even know who your brothers and sisters are? In the past, since I've been here since a year and a half, there's a lot of new people. And it's so easy to just get locked in. And maybe you say, well, I'm not really good at that. Well, here's a tip. Don't tell anybody. If you usually come in that door over there, come in that door over there. If you usually sit there, sit over here, and you'll be amazed. You will talk to different people. Solved. There it is. Let's pray. I'm just kidding. But each year brings new people to our church. Do you know them? Do you know their names? I know as a youth pastor, when I would talk to parents and I could tell the parent the kid's name, you like that? They like that, unless you're telling them they're doing wrong. But boy, they like the fact that you know their kids. Maybe you say, well, I'm not very good with names. How are you with writing? Have a little notebook. Another little tip. Have a notebook, and you talk to someone. Ask them questions. Oh, you have two kids. You work at such and such. You go here. And then you get in the car, and you write that down. Don't do it in front of them like they're being interviewed. But that's just learning to know and love the people of God. It's important. So evaluate that. Evaluate how your relationship with those in the world, how's that going? You see, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, he says this after the Beatitudes. He says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are a light on a hill. So this year in 2024, can you be better than normal neighbors? Now, I live in a development, and It is easy, especially during the fall, winter, and spring. You recognize your neighbor? You might wave to your neighbor. Do you know them? Have you reached out to them? Have you shown hospitality? Give them some cookies, even if they throw them out because they think you're poisoning them. Do it. At work, you're with lost people at work, maybe. I'm not too much. But do they see Christ? Are you living a salty life, causing people to search and be thirsty for Jesus? Are you demonstrating a better way of life? Do you have integrity and honor? Do you do right as much as possible? And then when you mess up, are you quick to say, please forgive me? That is powerful. We'll be getting into that in a minute. So as you take inventory on your life, can you improve in any of these areas? My guess is yes, because I can too. So the light of Christ can be in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your family. The gospel can be clearly communicated with them, and they have an open heart because of the way that you live your life. Another year's gone by. Have we made good use of the time the Lord has given us, or have we wasted much of it? It's likely that all of us, in some degree, have much to change in our life. In Philippians chapter 3, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forget what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead. I press toward the goal. Paul's not allowing his failures to derail him. Press on. So this year, will you resolve to draw nearer to God in Christ, using that word of God that is powerful and sharp, precise? Will you read the Old Testament this year? Because Paul said that those were written for your encouragement so that you might have hope. And in James chapter 1, put away filthiness, rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. In other words, repent. And as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, we need to long for that milk. Will you be diligent in reading your Bible? Will you be diligent in prayer? Do you know we have a great high priest, as it says in Hebrews? And our Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. He was righteous, never failed, and yet he understands how difficult it is. And so as you fail this year, run to him. Pray to him. Be steadfast in prayer and be thankful, because that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Perhaps Daniel's custom of praying 3 times a day might be good for you. Wake up in the morning and say, God, thank you for letting me wake up. At lunchtime, when you're going to pray for your lunch quietly, and just say, thank you, God. You've given me a job where I can afford to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Will you resolve to become closer to the brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, John, in 3 John 14, he says, I hope to see you soon, and I'm going to see you face to face. I can't wait to see you. Look around. Sit in a different spot. Learn new names. Learn new people. Show hospitality. Sometimes hospitality can be shown just by a caring conversation. But one of the things that Christians get bogged down with, I believe, today is the idea of forgiving one another. Do you realize that you are in a group of recovering sinners? And that means I am going to sin against you, and you are going to sin against me. That is going to happen. You know, David, when he, in Psalm 130, he talks about how God forgives, and he says, who can stand before you? Because I have so many iniquities, but you forgive, and that makes me fear you. He acknowledges the fact that he needs God because he fails, and yet God forgives. I am very acquainted with Matthew chapter 18. And if you want to turn there, I'll wait for you. You see, forgiveness, we pray for it. We
plead for it. We beg for it. How important is it, the idea of a sinner asking forgiveness? You look at the gospel, and the gospel clearly says that we need to confess that we sin. But what is the end of that? It's reconciliation. In Matthew chapter 6, stay where you are, but in Matthew chapter 6, in Jesus' prayer, he says, "And forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors to the same extent." Is that how you're giving forgiveness to people around you who sin against you? Are you forgiving them with the lavishness that Jesus forgave you? Matthew chapter 18, Peter asks Jesus, "How many times do I need to forgive someone?" And Jesus tells a story. He tells a story about you. He tells a story about me. And what Jesus tells is there was someone who had an unpayable debt. And rather than condemning them rightly, the master said, "I will forgive your debt, all of it." And the guy was so grateful that he went out and found someone who owed him 10 bucks and said, "You're going to prison, because I'm not going to forgive that." The master was pretty worked up. God, I believe, gets worked up when his children will not forgive, even though they've been forgiven the greatest debt. And what does the scripture say? "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you." And so we as believers, this year in 2024, are we going to be forgiving people? Are we going to be known? You know what? I'll tell you what. Willow Hill doesn't have a whole lot going on, but they forgive each other. David says, "But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." Finally, will you resolve to get to know lost people better? Are you building up relationships with people outside of your church? People who don't know Jesus? Now, I believe that our first and foremost responsibility is to share the gospel with our children. That's our first mission field. I'm sure glad that Jesus did not stop there. And he calls us to not be taken out of this world, be a part, to be in this world so that we can give hope to those who have no hope. I trust you've been challenged this morning, challenged to consider your walk with God and whether or not you are looking into his word on a regular basis, whether you are praying on a regular basis, whether you are loving your brothers and sisters more and more, whether you're learning their names and caring for them, that you're a light in the world, salt to the lost. And this will produce the kind of believers that the Lord demands, especially in 2024, one that will bless our lives and the lives of the people around us. James tells us a very cautionary thing. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. And so live for Jesus today." Won't you pray with me? Father, as I mentioned, there really has to be someone who is lost here today who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. And I pray that if they are convicted about that, that they'll come and talk to me or someone else who knows how to share what the Bible says, what your word says, about salvation by faith, by grace through faith. And I pray for each one of us. Help us, Father, to not only carry a Bible around, but that we would look into it, knowing that it is the power of yours to salvation to anyone, and as James says, the implanted word which is able to save our soul. Father, we pray that we would be people who would be identified by those who don't know you as someone who loves the people of God. Help us to be better at it. Sometimes we're just so lousy at it. We pray that you'd help us to get better at that. And Father, we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, who forgave us, though we did not deserve it, we pray that we would do that to others too. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.